Hi, and welcome to another wonderful worship service, virtual service we have here at Mountain View. We want to welcome everyone from St. Giles for joining us and everyone all over the net who has decided to come and visit us now and again. We appreciate you being part of this, and we hope that you're blessed by this worship service. Why don't we take a second wherever you are and just quiet your hearts and prepare for worship. This morning, we get to come in front of God's throne room again by grace alone. He has welcomed us because of the sacrifice of His Son, and we get to worship the God who came amongst us, who built this world and came to renew it. The God who carried His cross so that our sins might be forgiven and was resurrected, pointing that new creation is coming. Let us join ourselves with all our hearts in the worship, wherever we are, singing, listening, and allowing God to change us even this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we worship You. You are the good God, and we know that because You sent Your Son amongst us. You sent Your Son amongst us who revealed to us who You are perfectly. And You are a person and a God who embraces the weak and the lonely, who forgives sins and confronts arrogance and pride. We ask You this morning to send Your Spirit amongst us. Fill us so that we can see and hear what You're saying to us today. Lord, we come before You as a sinful people. We know that this week we've lived in fear and doubt, greed and lust, and all of those things that come upon us, sneak into us. We ask You to forgive us. And we ask You now to set us free as a cleansed people to worship You, to the glory of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Darkness, my God, that is who You are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who You are. And You are here, touching every heart. I worship You, I worship You. And You are here, healing every heart. I worship You, I worship You. And You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who You are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who You are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship You, I worship You. And You are here, mending every heart. I worship You, I worship You. And You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, that in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am.
Well, we know that people have been continuously giving to Mountain View so that we can keep this going, and we are so thankful for that. We recognize it's an act of worship, so I'd like to take a moment now and just thank God for the gifts and dedicate them to Him. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these gifts that You have poured upon us. We ask You to receive them back from hearts of thankfulness to the building up of Your kingdom, to the glory of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we had a couple prayer requests this week. Again, I invite you, on Facebook or YouTube if you want, or you can email the office if you want it to be more anonymous. Contact Al up in Prince George if you want it up there. And we're happy to pray for people at this time so that the whole community can pray together. There's just something about corporate prayer, even if it is in a virtual way. So let us join together and join our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, first we come before your throne in a broken world. We recognize that we are in grief, all of us, for the shootings that happened in Nova Scotia. We pray for the families of the victims, that you would comfort them, that you would watch over them. We think of the people who were killed in the helicopter accident. We ask you, Lord, to bring your mercy there. Lord, we thank you for Harry and Joan, and we thank you that they're healing up in Prince George. We pray that you continue to strengthen them, to watch over them. We ask you to be with the frontline workers like Chris. We ask you to keep them safe, to watch over them. We lift up Xander and the home he works in. We pray you protect the seniors there and everywhere. Lord, we ask you to come and bring wisdom to those who are dealing with this virus, and that you would give us a blessing of insight into how to deal with it. Now we take a couple moments in the quietness of our hearts to lift up what's important from us to you. Heavenly Father, you are a good and gracious God. You've showed us that with the resurrection, there's always hope, even when things seem so hopeless. We pray that you will instill in us faith to believe that, and trust that when we pray, you are listening, because you're that kind of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is found in Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. With trembling kiss his feet, or he will be angry, and you will perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Happy are all who take refuge in him. Today's New Testament reading is found in John 5, 19 to 29. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. The Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you will be astonished. Indeed, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whomever he wishes. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to light. Very truly I tell you, the hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out, those who have done good, the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, to the resurrection of condemnation. This is the word of the Lord.
So I was in Starbucks one day, and as nobody will be surprised about, and yes, that is the one thing I'm missing the most right now. And the truth is, it was just one of those days I was working on a sermon, and this young couple came in. I guess they were university age. That would have been my assumption, but it was just an assumption. And they clearly were on a first date. And I'll tell you what, if you've ever watched people on a first date and you are an old timer who's been around relationship with your wife for a long time, it makes you want to puke in your mouth. Because there's a reality of this act that they're both putting on. And it was quite cute, actually. They were both, the girl was nervously laughing at his jokes, which weren't very good. And he was telling her all of his exploits in life. And I thought to myself, basically the whole purpose of this is to get to know each other. There's no way you really get to know the person. How can you really know them on that first date? Because that is not who you get. We all know that. You end up with a much different person as you go on in a relationship. It's funny because you go into those dates hoping to get to know so that you can decide whether you want to be in relationship. Because you want to know the real person, don't you? Well, we talk a lot about the relationship we should have with God, with Jesus. But how can we have that relationship unless we know? Well, in Jesus' words today, he's letting us exactly know what it means to be in relationship with him, and that he is showing really who is God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace to us. We thank you that you open our eyes and our ears, and we ask you to do that again today. We ask you to give us insight into whatever you want to speak to us by your Spirit through these living words. And change us so that we can live the abundant life you offer. In Jesus' name, amen. The text that we read today, we must understand the context. Jesus has just healed the man on the Sabbath in the pool, and they don't like it. The Jews saw Sabbath, as I said, as a national marker that made them different than the Gentiles. And for Jesus to do this, it was offensive. But Jesus steps one up in the text before this and says he is actually the Son of God, which they understood immediately that he was making a claim to divinity. And they didn't like it. So what does Jesus do? Well, I suppose most of us would want to clarify our comments or maybe downplay it, knowing we're going to be persecuted, but not Jesus. Jesus throws down and doubles up. And that text today that we read is him in controversy. Remember who he's speaking to. He's speaking to the leader of the Jews. That's who he's speaking to at this point. And what they're going to hear is not what they want to hear. It starts off in John 5, 19 to 29. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I don't like very truly. It's truly, truly in the Hebrew, and it means really listen whenever they say a word twice. Truly, truly, I tell you, or I say unto you, the Son can do nothing on his own, Don't forget, Jesus, though God, has emptied himself, Philippians 2. But only what he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. In other words, I am a reflection of what you call God. I can't do anything else. Everything you call God is what I'm doing. The character, the way, this is it. He goes, the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he is himself is doing, working in creation, healing the sick, the broken, the poor. And he will show him greater works than these. Yes, think about it. In a few chapters, we're going to see Lazarus resuscitated from the dead. And he will show greater works than these, so you will be astonished. See, the point of Jesus' ministry is his first ministering to the Jews, and one of the ways he wants them to open their eyes is by doing the impossible, where they got to say, this has to be someone from God. He continues, indeed, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whomever he wishes. Well, that is a claim to divinity, if you understand the way they thought. You see, there was a text back in 2 Kings when the king was being asked to heal a leper by one of the prophets. And the king responds, when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to give death or life? You see, what he's saying there is what all Jews believed by the first century. The only person who can give life is the living God, Yahweh. Well, go back to that text. Indeed, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so now he also gives this life, so also the Son gives life to whomever he wishes. What a statement Jesus is making. He is, in fact, able to do what God does. What does that make him? Second sentence, another divine claim. The Father judges no one but has given all judgment to the Son. Within the worldview of the ancient Jews, in their metaphor, it was always Yahweh on the throne judging the nations. Now it's Jesus on the throne. What does that say about Jesus? They would have understood. And then he goes on, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Well, again, right in their scriptures in Isaiah, it talks about that God is the only God worthy of honor. Yet now this Son is worthy of honor? What does that make the Son? They would have got this. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent them. What a statement to these leaders of the Jews who are planning to persecute Jesus. What is that saying to them? Are they really worshiping the living God? Well, not if what Jesus is saying is true. Very true, truly, truly, again, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Wow. Now Jesus is making a proclamation that salvation can happen now for somebody. Hears the word and believes the one who sent him, the living God. If you believe that Jesus is God and you believe the one who sent him is God, you have eternal life. Now, it's a past tense. And does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life, because Jesus can give that out. Of course, he saw the world right now in darkness and in death, even the people around him, and he's offering these people in death life and saying, you can have it today, including the leaders of the Jews. Truly, truly, I tell you, the hour is coming and is now here, says Jesus, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. I thought it was God that was supposed to give life. But no, now it's the word of the Son, because he is God. And those who hear will live. And there's that word of abundant life. They will live a life worthy of living. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. He's just doubling up on the same thing. Who can give life? God alone? Well, what's Jesus saying here? The Son can give life. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Notice he changes from the Son of God to the Son of Man language. And he says he's given him authority to execute judgment. What does he mean? What does that Son of Man mean? Maybe it's pointing to something more. Why is he given authority for that? Well, back in the ancient world, in Israel, the Son of Man meant two things. What it sounds like, the Son of a Man. But it was also a well-known text out of Daniel 7. It was like their John 3:16. If there was a sporting event, they'd have Daniel 7 at the end zone. And in this text, the reason it was so important is it tells a story about this Son of Man coming and destroying the beasts. And the beasts were the Gentile overlords. That's why they loved it so much. And they were longing for this Son of Man to come. Well, what Jesus does is he puts himself in that role. And in the role, he defeats the beast. He goes up to the Ancient of Days, or God, and he is given rulership. Look at Daniel 7 for a second. I think we have the slide. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a, our translation says human being. The literal is one like a Son of Man. Coming with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be passed away. So you can understand why Jesus can say he has given the Son, given Jesus the authority to execute judgment, because he is this one who will destroy the beasts, but not the beasts they think, those beasts of national enemies, but the beasts of sin, death, and the curse of the devil. Having wrapped that up, and there's so much here. There's so much of I am God, that he ends with this warning to these people. Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming when all who hear, who are in their graves, will hear his voice. What is he talking about there? Well, some people argue it's the last judgment, the resurrection of the dead. Some people are thinking it's the Matthew story, where the mysterious Jesus dies and then people came out of their graves. I happen to think it's the end one, but I also think it speaks to those who are living deadly lives, lives of death, and it might be metaphorically to their graves. Well, anyways, they will come out, those who have done good, to the resurrection of life. This was always promised in Jewish eschatology, that some would be resurrected to life and some to judgment. The difference here is the resurrection of life and the resurrection of condemnation. These two poles is not that that was new. It was who's the one who's making that call. Again, it was Yahweh on the throne, and now it's Jesus. It is Jesus' voice they must hear. It is Jesus they must respond to. It is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because Jesus is God. See, this is the point that perhaps doesn't get played enough, is that Jesus is really God. And that's how come we can know God. And that's how come we can become who we were made to be. Irenaeus said, the glory of God is human being fully alive. And to be alive consists in beholding God. Well, how can we behold God in any other way than the incarnation? We might get ideas about God. We might wonder about God. But in the incarnation, we actually see and get to behold God. We get to understand his character and what he's about. You see, Jesus is what they call the exegesis of God. What that means is he's the revelation. Exegesis is a Greek word we talk about when we use the Bible. We're taking out of. He's revealing. He's taking out. We're taking out. He's taking out of God, out of himself. He's showing us. He's revealing to us who God is. Just like you need to know another human to have a relationship, you need to know a person to have a relationship with, and anything else is just invisible. So God came in Jesus, and we have to take it serious. Karl Barth says, Jesus Christ, as he is attested to us in the Holy Scripture, is the one word of God whom we have to hear. and whom we have to trust and obey in life and in death. Because he is God, he's the one true thing we can look at. He's the one true person that we can know. He's the one that can show us who God is, what it means to be human. He can show us things like love and grief, joy and happiness. He can show us these things and who God is within it, so what it should be about. N.T. Wright, if you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. If you want to know what it means to be human, look at Jesus. If you want to know what love is, look at Jesus. If you want to know what grief is, look at Jesus and go on looking until you're not just a spectator, but you're actually part of the drama, which has him as the central character. So why don't people run to Jesus? Well, in our culture, we don't like the idea of one way. We don't like the idea that there's, that Jesus is the way. We don't like that in our culture because we like the idea that it's a democracy. You can choose what you want, whatever it is. We'd rather not have to follow one way. Oh, we might take a part, so, you know, a part of this, a part of that of Jesus. But if he is God, then we're saying he's the way. And that rubs the culture the wrong way because that means there's a right way. A.W. Tozer was dead right when he said, Jesus is not one of many ways to approach God, nor is he the best of several ways. He is the only way because he's the only revelation of God in flesh. And we don't like it. So what do? With Jesus so often? We make him a prophet. Some people like him as a prophet or a teacher, a really good guy for sure. Because most people aren't dumb enough to think he wasn't historical. So we have to make him into something that we can grab, we can control, that doesn't offend our neighbors who hold different faiths or unbelief. But the problem with this is Jesus doesn't allow us to do this. He simply says too much about himself that if he was really not who he said he was, we're in a big, big pickle. J. Oswald Sanders says it the best. If Jesus is not God, then there is no Christianity. Amen. And we who worship him are nothing more than idolaters. Conversely, if he is God, those who say he was merely a good man or even the best of men are blasphemers. More serious still, if he is not God, then he is a blasphemer in the fullest sense of the word. If he is not God, he's not even good. But Jesus doesn't leave us with an option of saying, well, he's just kind of a good guy I might hang out with once in a while. He's saying, I'm the one that's going to give you true relationship because I am the one who is the good God. And I am the judge, which we also don't like. We don't like the idea of judgment, but I would argue we do. We just don't like the idea of God judging us. You see, Jesus is just. But we become a little afraid when we talk about justice because we know we're all broken. And we're worried about that picture of the angry God wanting to hurt us and throw us into hell. But I argue to you that because Jesus is a judge, he's actually a good God. He wouldn't be a good God if he didn't judge. When we see that person going out and shooting 20 plus people in Nova Scotia, we are right to have a righteous anger because we believe in justice. When we see people, pedophiles, hurting children, we have a visceral reaction to our bodies if we're healthy. That's good. Well, guess what? God is good too, and he is just, and he will judge, and he will set things to rights. The good news for you and I is that he has shown in his justice he takes the broken and the weak like us and saves us. He died on a cross for our sins. He didn't come, he says, to judge. He came to save. That's his mandate. But he is just and he is good. And that's why it says in the end, he will judge the earth, because he wants it to be what it was meant to be. And he wants us to have a place in it. And no, you don't have to. He's not an angry God that you have to please constantly like a bad parent. He's the living God who loves. And I believe that judgment on that day is going to surprise some people, because all of the judgments we see from Jesus are against the religious, the violent, and the people he keeps putting around himself are sinners like me. Philip Yancey said it best. Jesus is the best clue we have of what God is like, and he is constantly gracious and merciful, especially to those who are failures. He is harsh to the upright, judgmental people, but merciful and gracious to the failures. He seems to draw out the smallest kernel of faith in each person that he's with. So I presume that that's the way God is going to judge humanity, because if Jesus is God, we can expect him not to change, and he will embrace people who repent and seek forgiveness. But he will set the world to rights. The amazing thing, and why this is so important, and it's not a philosophical idea, it's not a theological idea I'm passing you, I'm telling you it's the truth. If Jesus is God and he came amongst us, then he is showing us who God is, and he is inviting us into relationship. He's fulfilling his mandate, and he's changing us. You see, Jesus changes us. That's his goal. Because his goal ultimately is to make us like him. That's what the incarnation's about. Again, Irenaeus, best theologian of the second century. For this is why the Word became man, and the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that man, by entering into communion with the Word and thus receiving divine sonship, might become a son of God. Or I would read it this way today: for this is why the Word became man, and the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that humanity, by entering into communion with the Word and thus receiving divine sonship and daughtership, might become children, daughters, and sons of the living God. That's why he came, so that he could come and take us on a date and show us who he is. And he shows the real truth of who God is. And now we have an invitation. Do we want to be with that God? I'll tell you the truth. If you really believe Jesus was God in flesh, it will change you, because all of a sudden, your whole world view of what it means to be human and who God is will change for you. Mother Teresa, as soon as we take the enfleshment of God, the incarnation, which for Christians is represented by the person of Jesus, then we start to take things seriously. Then our lives begin to change. Won't do to say Jesus was a nice teacher, though he taught. He wasn't always nice about it. It won't do to say he was just a prophet, because he doesn't allow us that. He claims to be the Creator God. What we'll do is we coming to terms with the fact that this was God in flesh, and what we know of him is in these scriptures. And as we learn about him, we have to make a decision. We're sitting on that date saying, do I want to spend my life with this person? If you love Jesus, you love God. If you don't love Jesus, that's the only God that you can love. And that's your choice. Let's embrace him and be changed by the one who gives life, who raises the dead, and forgives us, and who wants to spend eternity with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have been so good. We pray that you be given all the glory and honor, and honor to your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, the God in our midst, the God who carries our cross. We thank you for your amazing grace, and we say yes to you. And Lord, remind us that you are for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
C.S. Lewis said that there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who say, in the end, thy will be done to God. And those who, in the end, God says, thy will be done.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in our suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son. King of Kings. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because Christ lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day across the river, I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
I just want to first, before we go any further, thank the team that's put this together, Sarah Jane and David and Tom. Thank you all. It's wonderful to have you guys here doing this as a sacrificial gift for all of us. Thank you, Shelley, for doing such a good job reading, and Justin for the music. But now let us go. Let us head out. I know it's just around families and some close friends, but let us believe this truth. Let us believe the truth that Jesus is God, that we're already, because we believe that, for those of us who do, saved. And let us enter in to know him more and more, because he is the full revelation of God. And then we will be changed, and then the world will know that we have been with Jesus. So go now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.